Good morning.
Morning. Yeah.
Good to see you again.
You too.
Yeah, this is going to be a good time. We're excited to talk about Utopia. Chop Top will be here shortly, and yeah, we're gonna have a great time. This is our first show back. We've taken off a few months, so
Okay.
it's our we're kind of excited to get back into it after taking a little hiatus. Yeah, this is going to be good. I don't want to like spoil too much, say too much before the interview, but I have really, really enjoyed listening to Utopia. It's just a really good album, and I'm grateful for that you shared it with us. Thank you.
Okay, well, great. I'm glad that you liked it. The response has been kind of, chopped up. I
Hey,
remember.
John.
Yeah, I remember.
Hey, great to see you again, man.
You too.
Yeah, congratulations on the new solo record. You talk a little bit about there, getting ahead of ourselves probably for our official start time, but congratulations on that. And also, I've seen the Fifth Angel book that was done.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
was that's kind of interesting. I read through it and there was shit in there I forgot about. I'm like, oh yeah, like the whole studio thing when this bass amp caught on fire because I did an interview last week with this guy Ruben from We Go to 11, and he always asks me he wants a Spinal Tap moment, so this time I gave him the story when we were in the studio when we were doing the basic tracks for Time Will Tell, and I had this bass amp that was just on loaner, and the damn thing caught on fire. It swear to God it. And there's a picture of the cabinet and the fire extinguisher in the book, but I had forgotten all about that.
Nice.
Wow.
I almost wore my Spinal Tap Shark Sandwich 1980 tour t-shirt today.
I'm
Yes.
going to grab a glass of water real
Sure.
quick.
Yeah, we'll be here. Chop, it's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you too, man. I dressed for the occasion. Got my Evil Dead shirt on too.
Nice.
So,
I got a little Kolchak, the Night
Oh, very
Stalker.
nice.
Yes,
I'm really
yes.
jealous. That's a hell of a shirt.
I'm adopting a new look this season. Yes, that's right. I'm
Okay.
going with the more the graphic tees. I have so many.
None.
It's time to show them off.
Absolutely. I actually found this shirt, which is I don't know if
Keep it
you
true. That's nice.
nice, but sure, this is our first that was 2010. Let me see the back. You see the back of it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh
Candle
my
Mass.
God.
Very nice. That's a good
Yeah.
lineup.
That was
Oh,
our
man.
reunion show. So I just dug it out of the closet. I'm like, shit, I don't think I've ever actually worn it.
Nice.
That's really sweet. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is gonna be fun. Because we're both fans of the Evil Dead movies, and yeah, I'm excited about the show. So, but yeah, and anything you were
I have my notes for
sweet.
the
Great.
thing, so
Excellent. And now that there's three, the last time we did a slugfest, I forgot to invite the third. Our third guest. So it was a tie because we, back and forth. So now we won't have to worry about ties between the slugfests. So that's good. Excellent. So, Chop, are you ready to start the new season? Well, actually,
yeah.
technically, we have the first season, that episode that came out, that will be coming out in a few weeks, was the last episode from last season, but we had to pretend that was a new season. So let's just
Oh
continue pretending we're in the new season now, Chop. Boy, that last episode was really great. All
Yeah, right. Absolutely. What a blast. Woo.
that last episode we did, that what I think
What
it
do we
was a
do?
First Track
Yeah.
Frenzy, I think. Exactly. Yeah, like what? I don't know. It was like
Right.
November. Who the hell
I
knows?
don't remember that time in
That's
aught. Wait,
Pepperidge Farm remembers, but I don't.
no. Whoever's around remembers.
That's it. All right. Well, let's get this ball rolling, and we're gonna have a good time, John. Thanks again for being on with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, Chop, you ready? All right.
This is Richard Clark
And Joe Cady.
of Among These Ashes, and you are listening to Heavy Metal Horror Podcast.
I am Montag, Master of Illusion. What goes up must come down, but not always.
Yeah, this is Chop Top. Keep it true and stay heavy.
And you are watching and listening to Heavy Metal Horror. Oh, kitties. We want to welcome John Macko of Fifth Angel back. John, thanks for coming back on Heavy Metal Horror. We've got all kinds of great things, but welcome back.
Thank you, and I'm so glad to be back.
Yeah, it's awesome. I appreciate the connection and reaching out, and so excited to listen to the album. But let's go ahead and start talking about Utopia. How did this solo project kind of come about?
Okay, well, and first of all, I did change the name of the album to Zero Point Machine.
Oh.
Yeah, now there is a song called Utopia, but I ran into a little problem with originally calling it Utopia, so I had to kind of like start over and name it, you know, because I found out that there's like a million bands out there that they're using the name Utopia
Okay.
for not only songs, album names, and bands. When I first did the release on the streaming platforms, the song was, and I just did a single for the song Utopia, but it was connecting to other bands. I'm like, oops.
Okay.
So I had to pull that release and start over and come up with a name, you know, that was unique. And so I wound up with Zero Point Machine. Because there is no other bands using that name for a band, an album title, or a song. So if you search, it's going to come up.
Okay, I like that. There you go. Well, you know, because it is such an unexpected album, especially after on the heels of the last Fifth Angel album, which I think was just incredible. And because, you know, the opening track, I was like, wait a minute, what is?
I
what
know.
Is like electronica? I'm like, and like kind of a. Like what is this? And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then the female voice, I wasn't, you know, I didn't do any research. I go in all new listens without doing any research. Yeah. Cause I just want to be surprised, you know? And I was just like, wow. I was like, okay. And then track two comes in, which is a much more ethereal and darker. And there are elements of like Prague and all kinds of things in this album. But, so let's go back. I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself. How did you get this group of musicians together to do this project?
Well, in a nutshell, I started this project about a year ago, and you know, while there was, you know, Fifth Angel, we didn't really do anything at all last year. So I'm like, well, what am I going to do? So I kind of went through my catalog of musical ideas that I've written. Some I wrote for Fifth Angel that, you know, didn't make it on the last album, and others which just completely didn't fit. So, but I wanted to do something with them because I thought, you know, some of these ideas are really good. I got to do something with them, you know, and time isn't on my side. So I just made a conscious effort at the beginning of last year that, you know what, come hell or high water, I'm going to do this damn thing. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know if anybody's going to like it, but, you know, God help me, I'm going to do it. And so, of course, I was already had in mind that I was going to use Ken. You know, Ken's a big fan of my songwriting. And for whatever reason, he loves everything I do. So, you know, I had Ken on board, you know, but of course that was it. I knew I had to assemble a team, but I was like, well, you know, who am I going to get to play on this? And of course I could put a ad out there or just, you know, on Facebook say, hey, I'm looking for a singer and guitar player, you know, for a side project. But I didn't do that because I knew exactly what happened. I would just get all of the 80s metal guys, which, you know, which is fine, but as you guys have heard, this is not an 80s metal record.
No, not at all.
I just did not want to do another 80s metal thing. I wanted to do something that, you know, guys my age weren't doing. And then So I knew I had to find other people, but I really didn't know. I was kind of like, shit, man, where am I going to find these people? And really, I got things started with Jacob Hansen, and I had talked to Jacob before I even started on the project, and I had sent him a couple of some demo ideas of instrumental stuff, and he dug it. He said, John, he goes, I'll mix and master it. You just let me know when you're ready to do something. And I said, great. I said, but maybe you can help me because I need some referrals for some people to work on this. So the first referral came from Jacob for Adrian Thesenvitz, who's the guitar player for Ad Infinitum.
Oh,
And
okay.
my wife had just seen them play like the year before, and I thought I was really impressed with he's a kid, he's like 29 years old. And so I got in touch with Adrian through Jacob and very quickly started working with him and really quickly found out like how gifted this young kid is. I mean, he could just do it all. He was doing the keyboard, sound effects. That's what I actually first hired him for. Then he's like, hey, John, do you want me to do some guitar work? I'm like, sure, why not? And then hey, do you want some help with like some arranging and stuff like that? So once I started getting him more and more involved, I realized how that he was going to become a key member in this project. And of course, take it in a more modern direction, which is that's what I wanted to do in the first place. And then he led me to the singer Georgie. And because I said, well, hey, now that we got something going on here, I just need a singer to make the team. And he said, well, look, as long as you're not looking for because all the modern female singers, they're all doing like the Ginger and Arch Enemy thing. And that was another thing I didn't want to do besides, 80s metals. I didn't want a screamer because for me, it's just so overdone now and everybody's doing it. So Adrian said, hey, as long as you don't want a screamer, I got this gal, she's actually a pop artist, but she goes, I think she will fit really good with this whole thing. And I said, sure. And we sent her a couple of the video demos that we were working on, and she recorded some tracks to it, and it was perfect. So that was my team, Adrian, Georgie, Ken, and myself.
Yeah, I was going to say with Georgie, John, gave the album a very Evanescence kind of modern hard rock feel. I got throughout a lot of those tracks and stuff, so I could see what you were trying to go for, something totally opposite of Fifth Angel, but definitely a modern hard rock kind of feel with it.
It was the one track. It reminded me of Contrast a little bit. Which the singer, especially Georgie, her vocals sound a lot like the former singer for Contrast, and there was kind of like a poppy sensibility to their music that I really enjoyed. And I heard a little bit of that. It's not like saying you were trying to do that. We always bring a frame of reference to what we've heard, like, oh, this reminds me of X, Y, or Z.
Got the thing. Sure. But hey,
But Georgie is phenomenal. Her vocals are
Sounded great.
phenomenal. The whole album is just—it's just so good. Well, how did the guys in Fifth Angel respond when you told them you were doing a solo project?
To be honest, they have been non-responsive.
Really? Oh, I'm so disappointed, man.
None of them have really said anything. And
Oh.
I told the guys, I didn't really tell them last year, when I was beginning to do it. None of them, except for Ken, of course, but none of them really knew about it. And I wasn't really planning on using them anyway. So, what was the point? But when I did do the release late, in last year, I did tell everybody, and then I also, because I asked everybody, hey, would you mind if I, do a little bit of promotion for my new album on the Fifth Angel Facebook, and they all said, sure, we don't care. And then I said, look, if any of you guys are interested, I'll send you the whole album. And none of them have.
Oh,
Oh.
I'm so disappointed for you, man.
Oh.
That's really shitty.
Yeah.
You
Well,
know.
I mean it, I just I don't think that they now, of course, I've been posting, the video, every month I'm doing a video. And they all see it, but none of them have made a comment. I think Steve Singer on one of the songs said, yeah, this is really cool. But other than him and Ken,
Yeah.
whatever.
Wow.
It's just their way, maybe. I
See,
don't know.
I don't know. That's disappointing. But I'd
Yeah.
kind of I'd nodded before, made a nod to like the track. The album begins with an unexpected pop, very techno kind of driving pop sound, and then our nods to prog and the metal, these ethereal vocals and really engaging complexities that make the album, richer with every listen. How was the creative process different for you than when you write for Fifth Angel? Because knowing it was going to be a different album, different sound, you had this different team and vision. Was there a difference in the in how you approached creating this material than you have done before?
I would say so. So with Fifth Angel, I'm purposely trying to compose. Now I only compose music. I can't do vocal melodies and I can't do lyrics. So I'm really kind of tied to that. When I write for Fifth Angel or try to write, I try to envision songs like from the past album. And then maybe copy like a certain chord progression or something like that. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But with this album, I really tried. Well, first of all, I just had this collection of song ideas that were either submitted for Fifth Angel didn't make it, or ones that I had been writing coming from my other influences. So as you listen to this album, Mark, you'll notice that, okay, well, it starts off this way, but by the time you get to the end of the album, it's a totally different
It
album.
is. It is. Yeah.
Now that's not by design. I didn't plan that. To be honest, I didn't really have a plan. I just sort of, winged this whole thing. And some of the songs developed a certain way, and others literally went 180 degrees. Now, like Singularity, the instrumental, for example, I
I
wrote
really like that. Yeah,
that.
thank you.
I wrote everything, including the drum parts. That song, I would say, other than because Steve Conley played most of the lead work on that album, and then Jim Dofka from When Angels Kill, he did like the center section. So other than composing their leads, which I didn't do, but I composed all of it. So that song was pretty much the way I designed it. Also, the song that was before Violence, I wrote all of that music. It's pretty much, and Utopia are pretty much the way I wrote it. But now some of the other songs like Worthless, No Way Home, some of these other songs, Beauty of It, those songs started out one way and then totally went a different way. And that was like Adrian mostly, because for example, on Worthless and the Beauty of It, like if I played you the original, you'd be like, wow, that doesn't even sound like the same song. But the problem, but he kind of took like the meat of the song, because those songs had a real strong 80s influence. And I mean, even if I try to write something modern, look, you can't take the 80s out of me,
Yeah,
that's just the
sure.
way it
I get
is.
it. I get it.
So Adrian, when I sent him those in my original demo format, he came back. He said, "Hey, John, these are ideas are really cool, but," he goes, "I can really hear doing a different, more modern spin on it." I said, "Knock yourself out." And then he came up with just like a whole new version of the song, still kind of keeping the essence of the body of the song, but it then turned into something completely different. So that was the not planned part of it. So I had some of these songs sort of going down the road of what I originally had in mind, and some of them just going completely in a different direction. And honestly, and then once Georgie put her vocal on top of these songs just become a new life. They just and they go from here all the way up to here. And honestly, I didn't give a shit. Well, I don't care. It's like, who cares? It's like, okay, so now like I only wrote like half of the song, but I don't care. The bottom line was that I have really good songs. I don't care who wrote what, whatever. I just wanted an album of just great songs.
And the
And
collaboration seems to have worked in the album's favor from going because I, diversity brings more thought and ideas and things, ways to approach problems. And you certainly had that breakthrough in this, So what about doing this solo project has been the most satisfying for you, John?
The most satisfying is just the end result. I can sit down and listen to this whole album and still just go, God damn, it's like that song is so cool. That song is so cool. And I love it because it's not boring. Now, whether it's your cup of tea or not, nobody can say that it's boring or that the whole album sounds the same.
Yeah, every track is different. Like I said, I was really surprised by the opening number because I'm like, it was like almost like a little like dark wave, like She Wants Revenge or something like that. At first, you got this kind of poppy instrument, like wow. Oh, then it kicks in. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm getting this really kind of a, industrial kind of synthesized sound. I'm like, oh, okay, that is a real departure. But then the second track comes in, I'm like, oh, okay, because there's an emotional up and down of this album that pulls me in. And the complexity of the instrumental track and the last song is a phenomenal last song, the way to end this album. It's just a really great album, top to bottom, So kudos to everyone on the album.
And that's probably the most satisfying thing.
Nice. I would be remiss. I mean, we talked about several tracks, but do you have, or I guess I should say, what is your favorite track on the album and what makes it your favorite?
Boy, it's really it's pretty tough because some of the songs, what I like about the songs is that each song evokes a different emotion and feel. So I think depending upon, maybe what kind of a mood or whatever, I don't know. I guess if I had to pick something, maybe like Utopia or Violence. Violence reflects, it's probably the lead, I don't know, it's probably not one of the more popular songs, but Violence sort of comes from my progressive background, because I in the 70s, I grew up in Southern California with a couple of other local musicians that, we all lived on the same block and started our first band. But we used to listen to, we weren't really listening to what everybody else was listening to at that time. And we would listen to a lot of bands from Europe, like Yes and Genesis and Gentle Giant and Italian bands. And then at that during that time, we also were into the jazz fusion, which was like Return to Forever. And I was really into Mahavishnu Orchestra and John McLaughlin, and still to this day, you just love that. So Violence, if when you listen to the beginning of Violence, it starts with the 12-string guitar. I basically just ripped that off. That's just like I ripped that off of John McLaughlin. And then of course that whole song, it's in like 7/8 time. But I blended that jazz metal with metal, and so that song is really cool. And then at the ending, there's a little classical guitar piece that goes out. Well, of course, that's me, and that was it's a little bit of a tribute to my mom that passed away a few years ago. And I grew up with, she had this Goya classical guitar that she had, for 40 years. And whenever I would go visit her in Oregon, I'd always pull that guitar out and play it, of course, then when she passed, I brought the guitar here, and then I recorded that outro part with that guitar. I didn't even change the strings, and it just sounds like $1 million. So that was a little bit of a tribute, to
Very
myself.
cool.
So I guess that's emotionally very special for me.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
Well,
Yeah,
that's
go
a
ahead.
testament to, like you said, or it depends what mood you're in. Every song, there's something for everybody on this album. Such diversity. So that's really nice.
Somebody, and then Anastasia, I mean, okay, that one's probably the closest to an 80s power metal. Matter of fact, if I would have written, I wrote that after When Angels Kill, but I think if I would have written it before Angels Kill, I think it would have been on that album.
Oh, it
Yeah,
certainly,
I can hear
yes,
that.
certainly, yes. Yeah, definitely. Just want to throw this out here, John. If you're ever looking for mediocre musicians, Chop and I are available. So just want to let you know, we
Yeah.
both play guitar, Chop and I,
Very
and I play
mediocre,
drums.
though.
That's right. And we can sing badly.
I'm a little
So,
rusty.
that's right. If you ever want to slum it up, we're the guys to call. Okay. And
We'll make the anti-solo album that you
that's
never
right.
want to record.
You never know. That's kind of like the big thing with some of the young bands that I've been following. They're like really raw and just doing this whole like 60s retro thing, which
Yeah.
I think is actually kind of cool. Yeah,
It
they're
too.
not
They're kind of
very
discovering it for
interesting, but
themselves.
yeah,
Yeah, and making it fresh.
kind
Yeah,
of
like Rival
refreshing.
Sons and Greta Van Fleet, but Rival Sons, Yeah.
I really, really like. I think they're just got one of the best rock singers ever, Jay Buchanan, but that's yeah,
Who's
kind of
that?
my flavor. Rival Sons.
I don't know who, what.
Yeah, they're like one of those retro 70s kind of, classic rock bands, bringing back younger people's generation. So, but they're really, really good worth checking. Jay Buchanan's a fantastic singer. He's
What's
just,
the
I
name?
got a lot of their releases, surprise. But, yeah, really
I think he
good.
was asking what the name of the album.
Let me see. I got one that,
A hot seat
I'm
job.
sure wondering. I got it all in my head. I just can't.
That's a dangerous place to keep stuff. You know that.
I know. Let me grab something. Careful
Yeah,
of
no
Trump here.
problem.
I got it right here. I
Yeah.
need it.
So while we're waiting on Chop, put some pants on, Chop. Do you have any plans for like a solo tour at all?
I'm going to turn my fan on here. Get
Yeah,
rid of it.
yeah.
I'd love to do a tour, for this album, but I don't have any plans, and I think that would be probably really difficult to do, especially because it's not going to be Fifth Angel, and people are going to be going Zero Point Machine. What's that? Who's
Right.
that? I just don't know at this point if there's enough demand.
Okay. Now you had said that earlier that the reviews were mixed. What reviews are you hearing, and what is the mix, like the variety, like what
Well, it seems like now I have been doing some press. I've been doing some interviews. The interviews I've been doing Everybody really likes the album a lot. And then the magazine reviews have been really good. I think maybe I had one when, the guy, he just wasn't his cup of tea and he didn't care for it. But in general, I think that they've been very fair and honest. But here's the thing is that it's the response has either been favorable or silent. So I'm just seeing silence.
Okay.
Silent. So I don't really
Wow.
know how to take that. I don't see any comments. Like
Yeah.
there's hardly anybody comments. So I think it's maybe like it, well, if I don't have anything good to say, I'm just not going to say anything
Sure.
about it. I don't think it's flying with the Fifth Angel fans. I
Sure.
think they're kind
Okay.
of like, what the F is John doing here?
Huh.
That's my
Well, they need to get the whole album listened to. I can see if
absolutely.
that first 30 seconds is a little confusing.
Yeah,
You
it
know, and I get it, but you listen to the whole album, like I said, every song is different. It will take you all kinds of places, and it's such a good, strong album because of its so many different sounds. It's not boring at all, as you said. It's and it gets better with repeated listenings because you hear the complexity, you hear things you didn't hear before, and that's the true hallmark of a great album, I think.
And I think that probably that was probably my second mistake is I probably should have not started the album with that song. I should have maybe snuck that more like in the middle. Yeah, if I had to go back and do this all over again, I would have rearranged the the album listening because I think yeah maybe a lot of people they listen to that first song and they're like. And they probably just assume that the whole album is going to sound like that. And
Yes.
unless they like that song, they probably just go, nah, fuck this,
Yeah, it's very possible that people, No,
Hey,
I totally
John,
agree.
didn't mean to interrupt, fellas, but John won a couple of album titles from that band, Rival Sons. This is Pressure and Time. This is a really cooker. This is a hell of a great album. One of my favorites on their catalog. This one's Before the Fire.
Rival Sons. Yeah, I've heard of that band. Yeah.
Yeah, man, I dig them quite a bit. Just they got a whole 60s, 70s vibe. There's psychedelia, there's blues, classic hard rock elements. It's the total picture. And then you got this phenomenal singer, Jay Buchanan, who's just like, what a set of pipes this dude has. It's incredible.
Of course, that was the key. Any of the music that we all grew up, they all had just amazing singers.
Absolutely.
And those are tough to come by nowadays.
Well, and of course, not finding the singers that sound copycat of everybody else too. They have their own original flair. That's hard.
That's almost impossible.
Well, I certainly hope that more people get a chance to listen to the album, John. And I'm looking forward to maybe if Fifth Angel, their next album, then maybe we get to see you somewhere north where we live, up in the Cleveland area. It'd be really
I'd
great to
love
see you
to.
live and to get to meet you in person. That'd be great.
I was just on my last interview with Ruben. We were kind of talking about, he's like, what about, he goes, I know you guys do a lot of European, and we do have a European tour. It's almost completely booked. There'll be an announcement in a couple of weeks for early November,
Oh, nice.
a 2 week European tour. But he was also saying, well, what about a US tour? And I would love to do a US tour. I think we have fans, but of course touring in the US is also has its challenges. And I had mentioned it's like I would think that we would really need to do maybe a multi-band bill. And then he mentioned, well, how about, getting Ken, to talk to Kurt, and have him, do a Metal Church Fifth Angel thing. And I said, yeah, that or Metal Church Sanctuary Fifth Angel. To me,
Yes.
it's a
Yes, to
no-brainer.
all that. Thank you.
No-brainer,
Yes.
right? So do we
Let's
just
make it happen, John. We're
yeah, we need somebody to put that together because I don't know.
That would be a phenomenal bill,
Yeah, that would be
man.
awesome. Yeah. We've actually got a slugfest coming up. We're doing a couple metal church albums. Spoiler alert, coming down the road. So, but speaking of slugfest, we're going to transition now into the second part of why you are here, John. And we had such a great time with you before we interviewed you, and now
Thank you.
you're coming back as a co-host. You're going to be doing a slugfest with us. And John's pick for slugfest today, we're doing a horror slugfest. We are doing Evil Dead 2 versus Army of Darkness. That's right. So here's how it works. Just as a reminder to anyone who's joining us for the first time, slugfest is like a boxing match. We are going to be comparing two movies or albums, two movies, like one track at a time or one element at a time. We're going to work our way through all nine rounds, and at the end, we'll see who the winner is. And we're each taking turns talking about that. So, and you're going to hear a really awesome sound, and this is what it's going to sound like. That's right. I know. It's amazing. That will be the round. So we're going to introduce, and we're going to go, Chop will go first, and then John will have you, and then I'll finish each round. So, Chop, round one is story or plot. So, round one, ding, ding. Take it away, Chop.
Yeah, I think as far as the story, I mean, basically Evil Dead 2 is just a rehashing of Evil Dead 1. It's a, you know, it's a remake of it overall. Same kind of script, same, you know, everything going on there. But I do believe that I do appreciate I don't know, it's, it seems like it's a little, I'm more isolated, and I think the budget was obviously higher and stuff, but that's for another thing we'll talk about. What Army of Darkness I appreciate was like he's going, actually sent to the medieval times in a mission to reclaim the Necronomicon before it can, you know, revive, you know, gets in the wrong hands and they get dead army together. But yeah, I just, I think for me, the story plot, it's going to go to Evil Dead 2. I know it's a rehash of Evil Dead 1, but it's just, it's so basic, but yet so terrifying. And there's so many different elements within that. And the things that happen within that cabin, which we'll get later to, is just makes it stronger for me. And it's actually, I like it because it's horror comedy and not action or not action comedy horror kind of thing. So yeah, Evil Dead 2, story plot will go to that.
All right. Okay, John, story versus plot, or a plot, Evil Dead 2 versus Army of Darkness.
Okay, all right, now I see how this works.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so the story and plot, I thought, now Army of Darkness is a continuation from Evil Dead 2. And actually, I had just watched both of the movies this morning, and I picked something, I've seen both of them, before, but I did pick up something in Evil Dead 2 that I had never noticed when she was leafing through the pages of the Necronomicon, and there was a photo of the portal and Ash when he's in the Army of Darkness. I never noticed that before, so I was like, oh shit, yeah. So really, the plot is just a continuation of the story of Evil Dead 2. It's just sort of like Evil Dead 2 Part 2. Which one is better? It's kind of like they're just part of the same story. So I would say it maybe it's a standoff or I would say they're both equal.
Oh my
Come
God.
on.
Come on, John.
I mean,
Come on,
good for
man.
you, John. Good for you. I get harassed all the time by that motherfucker right there.
Okay, we're gonna say it's a draw for you. All right.
Draw for you. Good for
A
you,
draw.
John. Damn
All
right.
right.
I might have one later
No,
on,
you
so.
won't, Chop. You will not have a draw, you son of a bitch. Well, that's funny. No, I love it. That's great. I kind of agree with both your points. Evil Dead 2 has a lot of the same story. It's like a remake and a sequel. But a lot of those elements are there. Army of Darkness kind of goes off in a different direction. So because Army of Darkness, at least it's all kind of original, as opposed to a remake. My nod goes to Army of Darkness. So because we have a split this a draw, and Chop and I both have ones, we have our first we have a first draw. We got a draw right
It
there.
worked out that way. Yeah, right down
Look at
the
that.
middle.
A
Don't knock it
draw.
up to fuck everything up, right?
It's all right. It's good. Hey, that's what a
Oh, yeah.
slugfest is, man. You just never know. Okay, so now we're going to move on to script, just the actual script itself. So, Chop, take it away.
Okay, I think that as far as the script, I think I'm going to go with Army of Darkness. I just like you it referred to the story and plot and how it goes in different directions. Army of Darkness. I kind of appreciate that with the script, how it goes in all those different directions, rather than staying true to a lot of those first things from the first film for Evil Dead 2, in the script. So, yeah, my vote's going to go for Army of Darkness on script.
All right. Okay, John.
I would have to agree with Chop. It's there's a there actually is a little bit more script. I mean, of course, it's all bad, but there's more script in Army of Dark. I mean, in Evil Dead 2, there's hardly any real script. It's just, it's more visual. So yeah, I would have to go with Army of Darkness on that.
Okay, well, we know who the winner is. For this one, what I liked, Army of Darkness, I watch it again, and it had been a long time since I'd seen either of the movies. I liked it a lot less this time, because it felt like they were trying too hard. Like it was going really hard to be comedic, and some of the cracks were showing through. What I did like in our Evil Dead 2 was some of the humor they brought out. It was because I didn't like that was funny. I'm Evil Dead, the original, was so terrifying and so horrific for its time. I didn't like that they were trying to make it comedic, but the comedy was kind of good. The eyeball scene, going in, just being swallowed, and then the whole like a farewell to arms. I'm like, okay, there you go. So for me, just because of the those little elements, I went with Evil Dead 2. But the winner for round two, is Army of Darkness. Okay, so round three, we have the look or feel of the movie, the look and feel, the overall look and feel. So round three, take it away, Chop.
All right, look and feel. I mean, Evil Dead 2 is an it was intense. I remember the bright gore in it. The rapid camera and point of view moments I thought was really cool in there as well. It's dimly lit, and then the feeling of the isolation in the cabin feel. A very isolated film, even though they had all this stuff going on in it. So I kind of dug that. The chaotic and dark humor also, which is I'm a huge fan of anyways, in a lot of films. I thought Army of Darkness was more slapstick, exaggerated over the top violence. But I did appreciate the look and if you like the castles and the knights and the dark forest kind of stuff in that. But I'm gonna go look and feel overall. I'm gonna go with Evil Dead 2. I also don't think that Army of Darkness is really look and feel wise has aged very well, like held up over time more. I still think Evil Dead still looks kind of wow, so for its time, just the brightness, the gore, and everything else with it. So, yeah, Evil Dead 2.
All right. Okay, John.
I'm going to also agree. Like the cinematography, which I guess that's kind of what this falls under. But with the Evil Dead 2, the cinematography I thought was very clever. With the angles, they're just working in a very small area, unlike Army of Darkness, which obviously was filmed outdoors. That and then with a cabin in Evil Dead 2, that it was a real small space. So I thought it was very creative with the camera angles and the effects of a very small area and the impact of all the crazy stuff that happened. So yeah, I would have to go with Evil Dead 2 on this one.
All right. Yeah, I Evil Dead 2, the cabin does create that sense of claustrophobia, and the camera movements and stuff are really, really creative. So I like that. And I like that they tried to recreate the look of the original cabin, but to me, it shows that they had more money. What makes the Evil Dead so great is that they had no money, and this is an existing cabin, and it looks like horrifying just because of it's all run down. This looks like a set. Now we've moved into a set, and so I'm disappointed with that. But Army of Darkness, like you said, it's shot outside. It doesn't look as it looks a little more, I guess, natural, but it doesn't mean it looks cheaper, I think, in some of those shots. Kind of like watching the last Planet of the Apes movie, the Battle for the Planet of the Apes. You know, just like they had no money and they're like, let's just put everyone in ape costumes and make them run around with jeeps
The
outside.
mask, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So for me, the Evil Dead 2 definitely has a better look because the cabin and the way it's shot and those kinds of things. So there's more of a engaging cinematic look to it. So, all right. So hey, round three goes to Evil Dead 2. All right, that's fantastic. So, all right, so round four, we have performances, simple acting performances in the movie. So, round four, go chop.
Yeah, man, it's Bruce Campbell in Evil Dead 2 all the way. Just the physical comedy, the scenes where he's fighting with himself, taking off his, locking off his hand at the because it got infected. He just beats the shit out of himself in that movie, and it's one of the he's like the OG of all time for physical horror acting because he brings it, the intensity, everything there he did himself. And it's just, wow, he's an icon for a reason. And yeah, I just think, I mean, I do appreciate and like, in Army of Darkness, I appreciate Embeth D Davids. Davids is her name, the lead actress, Sheila. I like when she changes and stuff like that too, and I think that's a nice performance. She has a different kind of tone to her acting, but. Again, you couldn't go wrong with either one, but saying Bruce Campbell. But man, it's just there's some horror elements in Evil Dead 2, but man, there's some laugh out loud moments where he's just destroying himself, and it's just over the top, and it's so well done. And yeah, like I said, he's a legend for a reason. So Evil Dead 2 on performances for me.
All right.
Do his own stunts?
I believe he did. I believe Bruce Campbell did all his own.
Okay.
In those films, I mean, there might have been certain ones, Army of Darkness. I don't think he was, but I believe in Evil Dead 2 and 1. That's
Okay.
all his physical acting, his like Three Stooges almost kind of stuff and
Like Jim
the
Carrey.
slapstick.
It was very slapsticky. Yeah, he's very modern slapstick. Yeah.
So yeah, I get. Now, some of these things, like I wasn't exactly, because it's the first time I've done this and I haven't actually seen you guys do this. So some of these things I really wasn't quite sure. But, when I listened to Chop Top first, then it's kind of like, oh, okay. So like the performances of the actors, obviously it's not real good in either of the movies. It's pretty bad, pretty cheesy, but I think if we were focusing on Bruce Campbell, and that would probably be the fair way to do it. I have to look. Okay, so if not counting any of the other actors, but just on his performance between the two movies, and he does shit in both of them that I really like a lot, but. I would, again, I'm going to have to agree that probably what he did in Evil Dead 2 was probably a little more over the top.
So is that a vote for Evil Dead then? Okay. Just want to make sure.
Correct.
Yeah. You got it right, as Chop would say. His performance is crazy good in both. And you're right, there's a lot of cheese in these movies, which is what makes especially Army of Darkness so fun. If you're in the mood for that kind of movie and you're gonna have a good time with some friends, that's great. There is more of a complexity in to his performance because of the story in Evil Dead 2, because there are the horror elements. Whereas by the time we get to Army of Darkness, we're in full on comedy mode, and it's more like Hail to the King, baby. I mean, I love that line. It's a great line. And I agree with the chop, though. The physical performances and breaking all the plates and heads and, dishes over his head and all those things, that's pretty good. But I'm going to agree with both of you. For me, Evil Dead 2, the performances are better in Evil Dead 2 than in Army of Darkness. So, all right. Well, Evil Dead 2 is taking that round and is up against Army of Darkness. But round five, we have special effects and or makeup. So round five, take it away, Chop.
All right. Special effects and makeup, you could go with either one because I really appreciate what both of them do is still staying true to practical effects, and the prosthetics as well. Plus, the stop motion animation in Evil Dead 2, I thought was really cool and kind of like something you weren't used to seeing, or you'd see maybe from a you it was nostalgic of a Ray Harryhausen picture or something, So I enjoyed those moments. And you had more of the same in Army of Darkness and all that. But I just think the way it looks for me, it goes, I guess special effects can go with look and feel. We don't go there. But yeah, it's just the practical effects were so effective in Evil Dead 2. Really carried the story well. The effects of like all the animal heads and start, they go crazy and start cackling and all that. Bruce Campbell just going off solo, doing all his stuff that he was doing and those effects, with his hand. And I just really, really enjoy the effects and makeup more so in Evil Dead 2. But that said, there's a lot to enjoy in Army of Darkness as well. But Evil Dead 2 will get my vote in that.
All right. Okay,
Well,
John.
I vote on Army of Darkness on this one. I just thought overall there was just some more cool, fun things. Of course, the stop motion stuff. And there was actually more of it in Army of Darkness. But I really liked in Army of Darkness the whole windmill. Scene. When he goes into the windmill, there's so much like crazy, stupid shit that happens, in the windmill. And of course, it actually both of these movies, and for whatever reason, they decided to go this way. I mean, it is classic slapstick, and both of them have it. But what I really liked in Army of Darkness is that there's some Three Stooges stuff in there, with the honk, with the woo-woo-woo-woo-woo, to me,
was
that's
great.
I'm a big Stooges fan. So when they put in, with the skeleton, he's fighting with the skeleton, and he's doing, the Three Stooges stuff. To me, I just
That's
hilarious.
actually cool.
And of course there's and then the scene where he's in the graveyard, trying to get the book, and a lot of that stop motion animation, but yeah, so Army of Darkness kind of gets the win on this round for me.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, this one was tough because they both have really great special effects and they both do very different things with them. They both employ special stop animation, because we have all the little tiny like little demons and the running around the little tiny ashes and all those things. The skeletons, which watching, it's like two steps away from some guy holding up a skeleton from a high school biology classroom kind of thing. So I this one was I had to like go back and like think about it and watch some of the things again, and it's a very narrow one for me. But Evil Dead 2 takes it for me because although I agree with all the slapstick stuff, I agree with all of it. There are more like gruesome and more horrific makeup effects in Evil Dead 2, and I like the scene with the portal opening and the tree coming in there. All these really like large scale effects that were really impressive. So yeah, Evil Dead wins it for me in that round. So, all right. Okay, round six is music, score, soundtrack, etc. So, round six. Okay, Chop, take it away.
Yeah, I thought it was For as far as music Evil Dead 2 is kind of scarce, but it was effective when it was used. Enhanced definitely the slapstick, the horror tone, throughout when it was used correctly. And the same guy who did the score for Evil Dead 2 did Army of Darkness score, but also got some help with Danny Elfman on the theme song for Army of Darkness. So I thought that was really cool. And what's interesting, I think there's more music. Lets the movie breathe a little bit more, the score for Army of Darkness. I do agree that Evil Dead 2, as far as for the tense moments, those horrific moments, discordant kind of sounds and everything used for musically, it's effective. But I really liked how the score through Army of Darkness lets the movie just breathe a little bit more, and it sets the tone for it as more of an action comedy horror. So yeah, Army of Darkness will go for me.
All right. Okay, John.
I would say Army of Darkness. I mean, of course, being a musician, I mean, there really isn't hardly any music in either of them. So, but I would say, with the sound, I think Army of Darkness just had a little more happening overall with sound, in general, whether it was music or non-musical. Of course, they're using the same. When the demon is when you're with the in the eye of the demon, the sound effects is exactly the same. So that's a wash. I think it was really kind of a wash between both of them. But I think in general, Army of Darkness just had a little bit more depth. So.
Nice. Yeah, I see both of those points. And for me, Army of Darkness wins it as well for all of those things you guys say, and because it does have a different sound, Chop, as you mentioned. It does sound more like an action, and it's reminiscent of a lot of those like 80s straight to video sword and sorcery kind of movies
Oh
that were
yeah,
out, and
that's a
you get
great
that,
point. Yeah.
yeah, you get that kind of more of a symphonic, majestic kind of it's not straight horror kind of riffs, and so there is a little bit different kind of element to that. And so because it's a little different, it does set the tone for what it's trying to do. Then I definitely want to go with Army of Darkness for round six. All right, so 2/3 of the way through Slugfest. For those of you who are keeping score, we've got Army of Darkness with 2 and Evil Dead 2 has run 3 rounds, and we have a draw for round 1. So, all right, so round 7, this is memorable scenes or lines. Oh, round 7, take it away, Chop.
Yeah, there's just a plethora of these in both films. It's just such a blast. But of course, Ash with an Evil Dead 2, the possessed hand, beating the shit out of himself, kind of, severing his hand. And when he's doing it, he's saying, "Who's laughing now?" Taking off his hand or whatever. The laughing objects, I said, like the deer head and cackling and the way it's directed with that. And then one of the scariest is the demon witch or whatever, the deadite under the cellar going, "Dead by dawn, dead by dawn." It's like, oh my gosh, it still creeps me the hell out. And I love that. And then, of course, when he's like, when he has that line, he's like, "Groovy," like that. That's a classic Bruce Campbell. But then an Army of Darkness, you got, "This is my boomstick," it does all that. And then, "Shop smart, shop S smart,"
That's right.
I love that line. And of course, Mark, you alluded to it, "Hail to the King, baby," and all that. The miniature ashes were awesome. You know, too, fighting them out with them, pouring that hot water down his throat to kill one. Yeah, it's just, and then he's working at S Mart again. He defeats that deadite in the store. That's another memorable scene, I thought. Man, this is so either one. This is where I said I might make the call.
You're gonna do a draw also.
Yeah. Job is doing a classic draw.
Oh,
That's right.
you son
It's
of a
gonna be the king,
bitch.
baby.
All right, so Chop took the easy way out. All right, John, what's your take?
Well, for this one, for me is pretty clear. Army of Darkness is the winner. I kind of had, most of the same points that Chop did in both of the movies. Evil Dead 2, the Dead by Dawn, of course, Dead by Dawn, and then, Groovy. But I also like the eyeball flying across,
Yes.
the living room. That's a good one. But there was another one that's really great is the chopped off hand, gives him the finger.
That's right.
Yeah,
That's
that's
a
a
good.
great one. But to me, it wasn't enough. Army of Darkness, the ones that Chop mentioned, but there was also a, and of course he repeats the groovy again. So that was a repeat, which was smart. The shop smart, S smart. Look, you primitive shitheads. This is my boomstick. Of course, but another one that I never noticed, which is really good, is when his girlfriend, she gets turned temporarily into a witch, and she says, "I may be bad, but I feel good."
That's right. Yeah, that's a good
Story of
one.
my life.
I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
that's the winner right there for me. Yeah, so as far as lines, those were the kind of ones that stood out. Army of Darkness, I love the whole scene when he's in the pit, and then when he's fighting the witch in the castle, and he's like, "All right, let's do this." So, Army of Darkness, clear winner for me.
Nice. Yeah, coming in third, the good thing, I guess, is you guys have covered everything that I would have mentioned too, all the great lines. I do love Hail to the King, baby. I mean, I will just sometimes say that just to see who
Oh,
gets the reference.
did anybody? I'm sorry. Did anybody come up with the "Give me some sugar, baby"?
No.
Oh, I forgot about, no, we forgot about that one. Yeah, that was classic.
It's the baby. It was the whole leaning into the Elvis thing, you
He said
know?
it a couple times, and then I think the Deadeye King also said, "Give me some sugar, baby."
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of the leaning into the humor allows them to kind of be that, that way. And even though this is not the direction I would have taken the franchise in, I can appreciate it for what it is. I mean, they're having an awful lot of fun. But you're right, all those scenes are great in both of the movies. There's a lot here. And this was a tough one for me as well. But I went with Army of Darkness because there are those really, really fun scenes and lines that you had mentioned, John. And I kind of love just the way he shows up. And even though it's like now we're into the fantasy kind of sword and sorcery thing, the comedy kind of takes over, and just a lot of great lines. So for me, memorable scenes, Army of Darkness. All right, so wow, we are winding up so quickly. Round eight is the fear factor, true horror. So round eight. Go chop.
Easy for me. This absolutely went to Evil Dead 2. I mean, yeah, because this is more of a horror comedy as opposed to an action comedy horror kind of thing. So the
Right.
horror element is, nothing scares me in Army of Darkness, but there are genuinely scary moments in Evil Dead 2. The Dead by Dawn stuff freaks me out. The reanimated, wife of the professor, I believe she's dead, or whatever, and she's this huge creature like that, and then it just like blows her head out, but she's really creepy when his girlfriend gets possessed, and then he knocks off her head and all this other stuff. It's like there's some stuff that's genuinely terrifying within that. So yeah, and just the tone of it gets me more scared, I think. Yeah, there's laugh out loud. You're gonna belly laugh at both of these because they're hysterical moments, but yeah, Fear Factor, it's Evil Dead too. Absolutely.
All right. Okay, John.
It's a no-brainer. Evil Dead 2. It's just, and yeah. It has, some scary elements, whereas Army of Darkness, there's nothing scary about it at all. That's clear. That's kind of a clear cut.
Yeah. I agree with the both of you. There is still some genuine horror in Evil Dead 2, and as much as they mingle the humor and the horror, the horror is genuine, and I still love the end, that when the portal opens up in the tree, it kind of reminds me of the horror of, like, was it
Poltergeist?
Poltergeist?
Yeah,
Very,
yeah.
very similar to that kind of the sense, you know, and the grotesque size of the woman who comes back to possess, and you know, there's still some genuine gore and horror that's you know, truly reminiscent of that, along with the humor. But yeah, in Army of Darkness, we're straight out of comedy, and which is fine. It's just not a fear factor. So Evil Dead handily wins round eight. And for our final round, it's rewatchability. Round nine, go chop.
Yeah, I'm gonna. I picked Evil Dead 2 and this one as well. I think with Army of Darkness, my problem is it just doesn't seem to have aged well. It's definitely rewatchable again. You have to be in the mood for it though. It is definitely more of a comedy slapstick action-packed film as opposed to if you're just doing horror comedy, I'm gonna go with Evil Dead 2 any day. So, yeah, it was kind of easy, kind of not, but. In the end, I had to mull it over quite a bit, but I'm going to go with Evil Dead 2 for rewatchability.
All right. Okay, John.
I'm going to go with Army of Darkness, just because it's, I like the humor element, and it's just a fun movie to watch. You know, I'm not like a real big horror movie fan, not anymore. I mean, I used to be when I was younger, but you know, as I've gotten older, I've just kind of strayed away from. Excuse me, kind of that kind of stuff. So yeah, for me, Army of Darkness, and that's even my wife, and she doesn't watch horror movies at all. She actually watched Army of Darkness, and she thought it was funny, you know, and she enjoyed it. So that's something I could sit down with her and watch. So that's the winner for me.
Sure, makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, this one, I have to be in the mood to watch either of them, but I have to be in more of a very special mood to watch Army of Darkness because it does lean so far into the comedy. So for me, rewatchability is for Evil Dead 2 because there are still horror elements that I like. And I love a horror-omedy. I love when they mix horror and
Oh, yeah.
comedy. It's fantastic. But you know, but I have to really be in the mood to watch these movies. Parts of them have not aged, or maybe I've not aged well. I don't know, but if I had to watch one of the two, it would probably be Evil Dead 2, because there is still a lot of the elements of the original Evil Dead that I like in this. So although when I first saw Army of Darkness, I absolutely loved it. I just thought it was
Oh, yeah, me
fantastic.
too.
And then a lot of time went by, and I watched it again. I'm like, oh, this hasn't aged well, or I've gotten too old. Chop and I are
Yeah.
sitting on our front porch. Get off my lawn. But yeah.
Do both of you guys, watch horror movies, a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
That's
we
my
not as
main
much as we
genre. I
used
love it.
to. Yeah, together we would watch them all the time. We would have these all day parties and watch horror movies, and sometimes would like chop and spend the night, and we would just watch movies for 2 days
Next
and just
day, and yeah, just
eat way
keep a
too much.
marathon
And
going.
yeah,
Yeah, lots of
exactly.
I get nightmares from them now. So I've found out, because I was like, especially like in the 80s when I was younger, I was a big horror movie, especially with all of the 80s, like the Hellraiser series.
oh, yeah.
I mean, we could have done that, but then I would have had to watch these movies again, and those, I mean, I don't know, now maybe I would feel differently, but I mean, I remember, when those movies first came out, they were pretty intense. Because Clive Barker, he really did something different that, the other, writers had done up to that point, and he really introduced a whole different, element that actually was really the first time where evil demonic thing had nothing to do with heaven or hell or God or the devil. It really had nothing to do with that. It was really almost more of a scientific point of view, because the Cenobites, they never said they had anything to do with the devil or whatever. They said
True.
they were inner dimensional beings, which is physics, which is, that's something, that science is now just starting to kind of bridge, quantum physics and the spiritual world. We're starting to actually do that now. But Clive Barker, that's really what he did with these movies, and then just, and then threw in the gore and stuff like that. But they were pretty intense movies. I don't know if I watched every single, but I would say the first, maybe at least the first three. And the second one to me was just because now it's like, he, like his vision of what of hell was, that labyrinth, and nobody had ever done anything like it.
Yeah,
So
that's a great point, John. Yeah,
yeah,
Hellraiser 2
definitely a
is amazing.
visionary. I like his short work better than his novels. I think he sometimes gets lost. I like Stephen King. Stephen King is really potent in short fiction, and sometimes just gets lost and gets caught up in and raptured in his own brilliance, I think, like we do here on Heavy Metal Horror.
Right. I get enraptured with myself, my own
Right.
brilliance every day.
That's right.
So.
And I just hold a picture of Chop around and just watch it, and I just get enraptured with that. So we have a clear winner. We have Evil Dead 2 is the winner of today's slugfest. That's right. From a 5-3, with Run Round being a draw, Evil Dead 2 wins. All right.
Was pretty
That
good.
was a pretty fun slugfest. Yes, it was.
Yeah, that was fun. I mean, I really wasn't quite sure. I didn't know how this was going to work at all. So I'm just sort of learning on the fly here.
We definitely have to have you back, John, when we're doing, you have come up with two heavy metal albums. You want to go back to back with Slugfest, and we'll do that track by track and get your, I think you'll have a really good time with that with us.
That would probably be a little bit easier for me,
We've
That'd be
had
great.
we the Slugfest. I forget how it started. I don't remember
I
the
forget
origins of it,
what
but
our
it was like,
first
let's,
one was.
I
What was
think the
our
first
first
one
one?
was Metallica, or was it,
Was it Dio?
no,
Holy
the very
Diver was
first
the first
one
one?
was Rust in Peace versus Master of Puppets.
Oh yeah. Oh
Yeah,
yeah. That was.
we thought those are the two Titan albums by two Titan groups. Let's see how that pans out, because it's, I like Rust in Peace, but Master of Puppets won out in the Slugfest because you're just looking at it one track at a time, one track versus one track. And that how they line up can really, change how you look at them. So, yeah. We've got some really good Slugfests coming up, kids. That's right.
We do all
Yes, that's right. Very excited about that. I don't want to spoil it. Gotta make you come back for more.
the
Yeah, that was really good. So, you said you've been a horror fan. You don't watch them as much now. So are there horror movies that you've seen recently that you really do like? Anything that you've watched in the last couple of years, like new horror that's out there?
I do watch like on Netflix or Amazon or something. But I'm trying to stay away from the ones that are really violent. I'm
Oh, I
just,
get you.
in general, I'm trying to withdraw from the violence, because there's so much of it in this world right now, and especially on social media, and I do believe that is intentional, but that's another. So I'm trying to now, just like last night, I was watching The Bird Box.
Oh,
Uh,
Okay.
so I'm, you know, like I watched that. I like sci-fi, so I mean, I'm a big sci-fi buff, and some of the like I just watched The Astronaut. That was a sci-fi. So I'm kind of leaning, and I'm kind of a nerd anyway. Like I'm a space nerd, and so I just stick more with the sci-fi, or maybe sci-fi slash horror movies that focus more on psychological instead of just physical gore. I'm just trying to stay away from
Yeah.
physical.
Okay.
John, did you watch the series on Prime, Fallout, based on a video game? That's really, really good. I really enjoyed
And I mean, when I've looked at it, but I thought it looked kind of cheesy, but I don't know, maybe it's
it's really gotten a lot better. Season 2 has been phenomenal. And so check that out if you get a chance.
don't think I've watched anything new. If you're looking for really good horror without violence, I would go with like The Witch.
Yep,
Is
I watched that. That was
yeah.
so well made.
Yeah,
Yeah.
really good. And then like a lot of the, you know, foreign horror. We love a lot of the foreign horror, like the Wailing stuff that comes out of South Korea. And I'm going to recommend, it's a comedy horror. This past October, every October, my wife and I we watch a horror movie every month, every night of the month. And so this year the theme was horror-omedies, so like Shaun of the Dead and things like that. So I recommend, it's a Japanese movie called One Cut of the Dead. Have you heard of that?
One.
One Cut, like a
Oh,
cut
wonderful.
slash One Cut of the
Yeah.
Dead. It is phenomenal. Just, I don't want to spoil it. It's worth watching, and just stick with it. It is really phenomenal. Yeah, really, really good.
You guys, either one of you guys, seen, it's a David Cronenberg movie called Crimes of the Future.
No,
I
I've
did not
seen a lot
see
of
that.
Cronenberg, but not Crimes of the
Tell
Future.
you what, this it's well, first of all, I'm a big fan of his movies because he is so far out of the box. You know, like the movie Naked Lunch and
Scanners.
or Videodrome.
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 All
So
that body horror stuff. Oh, yeah.
you gotta watch this movie. It's fairly recent. It has the one actor that was in the Hobbit
Oh,
movies.
yeah.
Viggo
Viggo
Mortensen.
Mortensen.
Yeah,
Viggo Mortensen. Okay.
it's so bizarre. It's just, I won't watch it. I mean, I will watch it again, but it's like it's not, it's really messes with your head, but it's like I'm almost afraid to watch it because it just creeps me out because it's so bizarre, and then just leaves you wondering, like, is this like something that's really possible? So
Oh,
you gotta watch
okay.
it.
Okay.
It's so bizarre
All
for
right.
the movie.
I'll put that on my list. I also recommend Wolf Man, two words. Wolf Man came out last year, 2025. Really good. And then it's not a horror film, but it's Wes Anderson's last movie, The Phoenician Scheme, which is really, really good. We just did
I heard
a
about
version
that.
of
I gotta
Unsane
check that out.
Radio. Yeah, we just did we talked about that on Unsane.
I watched that with my wife. She's a big fan of all his movies.
Really good. I liked it better than I did Asteroid City. I thought this film was good. And then the last recommendation I'll make is Sinners, which we just did yesterday. Sinners is phenomenal. I don't know if you've seen it.
Horror movie?
Sinners? Yeah, it came out last year. It's set in 1932 in the Mississippi Delta. Twin brothers who come home from Chicago
Take over a juke joint.
to set up a juke joint. Yeah, and it's about music and the power of music and spirits, and I don't want to spoil it. It's
It's just
really good.
so well done. And then I'll give you another one, John. His Weapons was a
Oh
really
yeah.
good one. That's phenomenal. So
Yeah.
yeah, Weapons and Sinners for this past year, you can't go
Okay.
wrong.
Yeah. Now
Bring her back
there
too,
is
I
some
like that.
violence in Sinners. There is some violence, and I just want to get you know, but I don't think you're going to have nightmares from it. But yeah,
Well,
is I
I think John made a good point. I know he's got to get going and stuff, and but talk about like those movies, ultra violent, like the torture porn. It's
Yeah.
almost like the Terrifier movies. I have no like I've seen the first like I never need to see a garbage again. Any of them, I don't care. It gets worse and worse and worse. Yeah, there's just so much of that. Like the Saw movies, I got to a point where, yeah, I got the collection. They're collecting dust. I can't go back to them. I'm just like I want to shower after I watch some of that
Cleanse
stuff.
yourself from that garbage chop. Cleanse yourself.
Right. But The Exorcist still scares me and Mark the most out of any
Yes.
horror film of all time. It still is so unsettling. And we watch it together and we're still like, gotta have the lights on and watch
Yeah, I
it.
will not watch that movie alone at night. No. But Exorcist 3 is still, I just love that movie. Absolutely love that movie
That's such a
too.
good one.
So, well, listen, John, we know you gotta get going. Thank you so much
Thanks,
for
John.
being on Heavy Metal Horror with us again. We'd love to have you back for another Slugfest, or give us an update when the next Fifth Angel album comes out, or if you just want to hang out, that would be awesome too. We'd love to have you back anytime.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. And if I could just make a quick plug,
I was going to ask, where can we find your album?
for those that would like to listen to the album. It's on all the streaming platforms. And you can go and you can do a search for either John Macko Music or Zero Point Machine, and it'll come right up. Or you can go to my YouTube channel. I've got four videos now, and again, that's just John Macko Music, and you'll be able to find it. And then I'll release another song each month until I got four more to go. So.
Nice. Excellent.
Excellent.
Well, it's totally worth the listen. It's a great album.
Absolutely.
And we're glad that you have it back. So we're going to get out of here now. You can find Heavy Metal Horror on unsaneradio.com. Listen to full episodes or download to your device. You can find us on Facebook, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. On Instagram, look for Montag Lewis, one word. Our YouTube page, Heavy Metal Horror Podcast. If you're watching, that's where you're at. Don't forget to hit the like and subscribe button. And if you know someone who would like our show, tell about us. This has been Montag, Master of Illusion.
Chop top.
And our guest today has been.
John Mako.
That's right. And you've been watching and listening to. Okay, John, bring up the
Bring up
horns.
the horns. Heavy
Heavy
metal.
metal horror.
This is Doug Helvering, and you have been listening to Heavy Metal Horror, the best podcast that you've never heard before.